Hey, everybody. We're here alive and thrive in the world's most culturally diverse city, Toronto, home of Blue Jays, Raptors, Maple Leafs, and Canadian psychic Robert Lindsay Milne. That's me. Welcome to my side of the crystal ball. My side of the crystal ball is going to be a little bit unusual compared to what we normally do. The whole episode tonight is all about WWRS. What would Robert say? I'm going to be talking, discussing, and sharing with you the most painful, hurtful, devastating experience of my life. And in the very same conversation, I'm also going to be talking to you about some of the greatest experiences in my life as a direct result of the emotional tragedy that I experienced. It is my proof to you that when one door closes, another door opens. And now, without further ado, WWRS. Dogs came late to me in life. I was in, I think, 48 years old. I thought I liked them, except that I was always on the road, and a good amount of my time I've been single, and it wouldn't have been fair, right, or it wouldn't have been, a dog couldn't have fit into my lifestyle. In about the mid part of the 1990s, I became involved in a committed, serious relationship with a woman and her two children. It was quite a positive one for me. And as we were getting closer and closer together, we had a cat, Mr. Max, and we all decided to get a puppy. We got a puppy. And as a family, we decided we picked that one. I thought I was getting it for everybody else. And, you know, the very on the ride home, even though we all shared in what we called her Matilda, Tilly for short. She became closer and closer to me, and I became more bonded, even though I was still driving and, you know, she was sitting on my partner's lap. The next day when I started doing readings, this 10-week-old puppy insisted on being in the room with me while I was doing readings. And then very quickly, she was beside me with every reading I did for many, many years thereafter. Our time in that small town, we bought a house and moved to a small town, and it didn't work out for us. It didn't work out for us as a family. It didn't work out for us as a relationship. It didn't work out for us as a place to be. My partner and her two children moved away. I was at the house with Tilly, Mr. Max, Daytona, and Riley. And we had one more year of our five-year mortgage to pay off, and I decided to stay there. And Tilly and I would go back and forth to work every day in Toronto, which, by the way, is in miles, it's 70 miles, and in kilometers, it's 120. We did that every day, and Tilly was with me, and she was always part of my readings, and she went with me everywhere we went. I never let anyone look after her. She was always by my side. February 21st, I had a business meeting in downtown Toronto, but it was in the evening, and I didn't want to leave Tilly in the office. I drove back to Beamsville, dropped her at home, and I bumped into a friend of mine who lived across the street, and she saw me dropping Tilly off, and she said, instead of leaving her all by herself, why don't you just leave her with us? I thought, I know this person, and I know their dog. Sure, that'll be just great. And they took Tilly over to their house, and I went into the city to my meeting. I came back several hours later, and on the way back, and this was just, you know, we were all just starting to get cell phones on, I got a cell phone call from my friend saying that when I left, Tilly got out, ran away, got hit by a car. She's in the emergency ward at the animal clinic, and she has a broken spine. I immediately went to that veterinary clinic. It was an emergency one, and discovered what had happened. I had a few options, and I knew that she, even though there was surgery possible, I knew that she would never survive. When she died, I never felt so much hurt as I did then. I couldn't function. I remember driving home from the veterinary clinic. And my first stop was the liquor store. I hadn't had a drink in years. And on the way home, I drank what was in the bottle. That Friday, Saturday, Sunday was just a blur. Monday, I drove to work. I actually tried to drive. I tried to go to work. I drove and got to my office. Of course, everybody asked where Tilly was. That was great. I realized that day I couldn't do reading, so I left. Throughout that time, I got drunk. I'd lost the relationship that I was in. It ended. The lifestyle was over, and I lost the only being that had ever given me unconditional love. I couldn't function. I was just drunk. I drove back and forth to work. There were some days I could do readings. There were some days that I couldn't. I remember one day I did get into work, and you know, Tilly was part of my life or the job. You know, she would meet the people at the door. She would escort them to their chair. They would sit in the chair. She would sit in front of them and they would pat her. And what she was doing was calming them down. And I would go around, I would do fidget, getting ready to do the reading. And then when it was time for me to do the reading, I would just tap on my knee. And she would come by and lay by my side. And then I'd start the reading. If my client got upset during the session, with my permission, Tilly would get up and go and give comfort. And when the session was over, because she could sense the energy, she would get up and go and sit in front of the person and complete the reading. This one day I made it to work and managed to do a couple of readings. It was a struggle. And it was back in the days that I was recording on cassette. I was doing a reading for this person. It was dark, so it could have been 7 o'clock or six, whatever. I'm in the middle of doing this reading for somebody, recording it, and I just got so upset and just couldn't do the reading. And I just looked at the person and I said, I'm so terribly sorry. I can't do this reading right now. And I got out and I just walked out. I left the recording on, didn't turn the tape recorder off. I didn't say goodbye to the person. I walked out the door. I didn't put my coat on. Left everything on, the lights, walked out, got in my car, and drove back to Beamsville. Over that time period of a couple of weeks, I was drunk all the time. I was devastated. I was trying to get back and forth to work. The house was up for sale. And this one Friday afternoon, I got a call from the real estate agent saying that there was an offer on the house and could I come home early to read it and sign it? And I said, yes. And as I was packing up my office, the telephone rang. And I answered it. And a man at the other end of the phone said to me, "Hello, Mr. Robert. You don't know me. My name is Sam." In my frame of mind, I could have reacted in any way. I could have told him to get lost or a whole lot worse. Anyway, some reason I just said, "Yes, Sam." And he said, "You don't know me, but I have a question." And I was to a degree a bit cynical at this time. And I was kind of pissed with God because how come I'm doing all this for others and, you know, my dog dies. So Sam says to me, he said, "I have a question, I have a question." And he said, "My son is autistic." And my attitude at that time was, come on, get to your point. And the way I responded was, "Yes, uh-huh." And he said, "I don't like dogs." And I said to him, "That's not necessarily a good reference." He said, "Our doctor recommended we get a dog for our son because dogs are really good for kids with autism." And I said, "Yes, Sam, I've heard that." And he said, "We got a dog for our son. And in a very short amount of time, our son started coming out of himself and opening up. And the dog also became part of our family." And I said to him, "Sam, that can happen." And he said, "Yesterday, our dog got out of the yard and we can't find him." And he started to cry. I said to him, "I sense your dog is alive. I don't know if I can help you with this, but you have to, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and depending upon how you answer the questions will depend on if I can help you." And I said, "Are you at home right now?" And he said, "Yes." "And are you sitting in the living room?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "If you look out the window, straight out the living room window, straight ahead from where you're sitting, are you looking out the window, the living room window?" And yes, of course. And I said, "And you live on kind of like a cul-de-sac looking straight ahead?" And he said, "Yes." "And then there's, of course, a road going either direction?" "Yes." "If you drive to the left, turn to the left, does it lead you to a kind of mall area?" And he said, "Yes, it does." if you go to that mall, somewhere in that mall, you're going to see a sign that says, dog found. Sam, I don't know if this is right or wrong. I don't know if it worked for you, but I really wish you the best of luck. And let me know how it turns out. End of conversation. Didn't think about it anymore because it was something that I could have done at any day in my work life and do. Get in my beat up old Jeep, drove back to Beamsville, signed the papers. Monday morning, I was feeling a little bit more refreshed, relaxed, knowing that the time had come and the house was sold and I was going to be starting my new life. Without Tilly, by the way, and I couldn't even talk about it, what happened to her, without just breaking down and crying. I drove back to be from on Monday morning. I set out for a great day at work and, a starting or beginning of my new life, so to speak. When I got there, the phone was ringing and it was Sam. And Sam said, Mr. Robert, we followed your advice on Friday and we went to that place, that mall, and we walked all over for a couple of hours and we couldn't find anything that said dog found. And they said, we walked out the rear side door and as we were walking out, we saw a sign that said veterinary office. And we just followed it. And there was a sign that said, dog found. And he said, it was our dog. And I would like to thank you very much. I said to Sam that I was very happy for him that it happened. And I wished him the best of luck and said goodbye. It was devastating. How could I have the ability to help someone find their dog? And my dog gets killed. So mad at God. On the way, I just did another walk out of the office day. And I was driving back to Beamsville. And I was cursing and swearing and calling God, God, you sadistic son of a bitch. How dare you give me the ability to help somebody find their dog? And you take mine from me. You rotten bastard. I was so mad and so hurt. That was almost as bad as Tilly getting killed. The next several days were a blur. I woke up one day. I saw liquor bottles all over my house. I looked like shit. My house looked like shit. Felt like shit. And I thought, this has to stop. This has to stop now. It was, if I didn't, I just was gonna, I was giving up. I thought, I missed having a dog. I didn't want to betray Tilly. I needed the connection. So I went to the internet. It was just the early days in 2002. And I Googled golden retrievers, golden retriever breeders. And what came up was from Keon Kennels. And I looked at their website and I phoned them. And one of the owners, Karen, from Keon Kennels, answered the phone. And I started to talk with her. I couldn't hardly get past what happened to Tilly before breaking down and completely losing it. And she listened to me kindly, patiently, quite tenderly, for a pretty long time. And I was looking to get a golden retriever puppy. She told me that if she had any puppies, she would have one for me, but she didn't have any. And then she said, "We have a dog here. Her name's Kindred Spirit, by the way. And she's been a house dog. She's a champion. She's retired. She's been living in the house. And she's just a beautiful, beautiful dog. She's a little older. She's just around 7. But she sounds like just the right dog for you. Sounds like what you're going through." And she said, "Look at the website. You'll see her, Kindred Spirit. If you like her, call back and then come on up." I went to the website, looked at her. She looked pretty good, right? I was just an older dog, puppy. I didn't know. But I called her back anyway. And I said, "I would really be interested in seeing this dog, meeting with this dog." That Sunday, throughout the next few days, I went and got some references from my vet, from, you know, from the person that worked at the dog food store in the town, from friends, how I was with my dog, you know, et cetera. And then on that Sunday, I drove from where I live all the way up to a farm north of Orangeville. And Orangeville is, 100 kilometers, 60 miles north of Toronto. I drove into the farm. I didn't know what to expect. And I went to the farmhouse. I had, by the way, I had no idea who these people were. I knocked on the door. Karen came to greet me, and her family was there, and there was a group of about 6 or 7 of the most beautiful dogs I've ever seen in my life. Breathtaking. Different colors. I came in and sat down and once again started talking about what had happened and couldn't stop crying. They were all very kind and patient. I was also looking at these beautiful dogs, knowing that Kindred Spirit was one of them. Some of them paid attention to me, some weren't. And then this other dog came over and sat beside me. And by the way, she was just beautiful. And I started patting her. As I was talking with Karen and, you know, making the arrangements, I said to her, "By the way, which dog is Kindred?" And she said, "You're the one you're patting." I said, "I brought some references here." And I handed her from my references, and she said, "You don't need those references. Your tears are your reference." And she said that if you love her, if you can love her, you can have her. And they gave Kindred Spirit to me. I didn't even have a leash. I was that messed up. And Kindred got up and walked with me to the door and the family. She walked to the car with me, and I opened the car door, and she jumped in. And I closed the door, and we drove home. Kindred lived with me. She was a magnificent girl. She adapted immediately to my environment. She adapted in my work. And she didn't stop the pain of Tilly dying so drastically. But what did happen is that I started focusing on receiving from Kindred. Over time, each day, I started feeling better and better, and closer to kindred, but I still felt so deeply about losing Tilly, as I still do. I was so deeply grateful to the people at Keon Kennels for what they had done for me. I did everything to reach out to them, keep in touch, share with them. Anybody that would do such a beautiful thing for me, I would forever be grateful and forever show my gratitude. Over time, we became friendly, and they liked the way I looked after Kindred. As time wore on, Kindred got older, and just a little bit before her 14th birthday, she got sick. And it was her time to complete her life. It was painful, but not like Tilly's. I kept in touch with Keon Kennels, and they followed her progress with me. And when Kindred completed her life, I asked them if they had another dog that I could have. And they told me that they had this dog named Dixie. They said that she has, she also was a champion. She was younger than Kindred. She was only now 5 and a half. And she only had to have one more litter before she was retired. And if I would like to take her on those conditions, she would come back to have one more litter. She could come with me. And I went up to see Dixie. And I remember sitting in the office, still mourning the loss of my dear Kindred and remembering Tilly too. Out from the kennel, into the office, this most beautiful dog. I looked at the dog and said, "You're beautiful." And she came right up and sat in front of me. That was Dixie. And Dixie came home with me, and I think Dixie's been the most magnificent dog I ever had. Dixie had her last litter. She was incredibly dedicated with me. And she became by my side, as all my dogs have. When she was going through that process, I loved it so much. I asked Karen and Wally at Keon Kennels if there was ever a time they would have a co-ownership with someone, with a younger dog, a puppy. And Wally said that they did it sometime, and he'd let me know. 2 weeks later, right, I had Kindred or Dixie back home. A couple of weeks later, Karen called me and told me that they had this puppy that would do better in a family home than in the kennel. And she was showing at the Golden Retriever Canada, the Canadian Golden Retriever Club championships that Sunday, and she was in senior puppies. I went out to see her, and she was just beautiful, and she finished first in senior puppies. The next day, I went out to the farm and brought Tessa home with me. Tessa came home with me on the condition that she would go back to Keon for showing and breeding to become a champion and also to have 3 litters. And that happened. And when she was going through her showing time, it was really a lot of fun driving her around to all the dog shows and being a co-owner and taking her up when she was having her puppies. It was just a fantastic, and having her at home when she was, when she was pregnant, it was just absolutely magnificent. As time wore on, Dixie got sick. She got sick early, and we had to say goodbye to her sooner. Over this time period, Karen and Wally and I and their whole family and I became good friends. I was starting to realize these people are quite well known in the international dog, golden retriever, and boohound breeding, showing, and training. They share with breeders, and they share their breeds around the world. I just started learning about that after all the dogs that I've been getting. Once again, when Dixie died, I asked Karen if she might have another dog for me. And very quickly, she found a dog, and her name was Lacey. And Lacey came home to live with us, but it was me and Tessa. During that time, John, second oldest boy in the Keon clan, bought the farm, so to speak, and started taking over the business. And he came to me and he said, "You know, Robert, you've shown a lot of skill with dogs with no training. I think that you would do really well in the dog show ring." And I said, "No, I didn't think so." And he said, "Yes. And if you would like, you can come in and have, if you would go into competition, I would pay for, first of all, your lessons with you and the dog. I'd supply the dog, and I would pay for going into the shows, just as long as the dogs, perform under the Keon banner." It took a long time, and I decided yes. So started off with taking Lacey, and we took her to an advanced dog training school all the way up to grade 3. We did a couple of shows, but Lacey just didn't want to do it, so we let her off the hook. When Tessa was 8, we entered her into dog training, and she went all the way to grade 3 at a very advanced dog school. And then she went on to her rally obedience trials, and she completed her novice title. She was 9 years old, and she was competing against three-year-old dogs. Tessa then just said, "I don't want to do this anymore, enough." And then Sean said, "We have another dog here, and his name is Tyson, and this could be the one for you." And then Tyson came home with me, and on the condition that he'll go back for confirmation training, and he'll go back for stud. Other than that, he'll go to training with me, and I'll show him, and all these three dogs will live with me. I have become close personal friends with everyone in the family. After getting those three dogs from Keon Kennels, over the years, there has been more than 20 dogs from Keon that have come down to stay with me for socializing, training, and confidence building. They stay with me for a little while, and then they go back to the breeder. I've learned how to dog handle. I've learned how to train. I've had all these beautiful dogs. And then I saw this dog, and her name was Christy Kringle, and she was 16 years old, and she was a Norwegian boohound. And I saw on the website, on Karen's website, that this beautiful little dog at 16 and a half years old had lost her mother, her family. And I decided I wanted her. And Karen, from Keon Kennels, and a golden retriever breeder, as well as a Norwegian boohound breeder and shower and trainer, she got in touch with that. When I told Karen I would like that dog, she got in touch with that group and arranged to have Christy Kringle come and stay with us, me, Tessa, Lacey, and Tyson. And at 16 years old, Christy Kringle came and stayed with us for another 14 months. I have had a 20-year experience. It was, you see, last February 21st, 22nd, was the 20th anniversary of Tilly's death. And over that 20 years, as a result of that tragic event, the way I handled that tragic event, and the way I kept going with that tragic event, I turned it around and has become a 20-year glorious experience, all because of that horrible tragedy 20 years ago. And that's what Robert has to say. Well, that certainly is an emotional experience, that, well, at least for me. But I wanted to share this with you for many reasons. I wanted to share with you the love of my dogs. I wanted to share with you the depth of my feelings. I wanted to share with you another side of me. And above everything else, after that, I wanted to share with you and demonstrate clearly in black and white that when one door closes, another door opens. But you have to open the door. You have to walk through the hallway to get to the other door. You have to do something. I still think about Tilly after 20 years. She lives in my heart. I still think about Dixie. She lives in my heart and I miss her. I think about Christy Kringle and she lives in my heart. But I have Tessa, Lacey, and Tyson, and they're alive and they're thriving with me. Kindred Spirit, Dixie, Tessa, Lacey, Tyson, Christy Kringle are the result, the exact result of when one door closes, another one opens. My heart is fuller, deeper, broader with all the love that these dogs brought me than if I just would have lived with the sorrow and the hurt with Tilly's loss. But remember, when one door closes, another one always opens. That does bring us to the end of our show tonight. Let me know what you think about it, like it, hate it, just let me know. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else that you find your podcast. Oh, we have a big announcement coming up in the next little while about where else you're going to be able to be hearing my side of the crystal ball. Now, if you'd like to find me personally, you can find me on my website, www.robertlindseymilne.com. And incidentally, if you log on and take a look, please sign on for my newsletter. And I also, old Robert's still doing reading, so you can do that too. And you can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. That does bring us to the end. And but before I say goodbye, I just have to say these words once again. Do good, stay safe, and above all, just be kind. Good night, everybody.